In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's text, in my humble opinion, is one of the most beautiful, striking, and profound moments recorded in all the gospel accounts, when Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, comes to Jesus by night. It is beautiful and profound in its depth of teaching, a text in which you could spend countless hours. One of those texts that when you begin to meditate on it, you realize that you could not possibly plumb the depths in your entire life. It is sublime in its simplicity and yet profound in its depth of meaning. It is one of those texts that poses a particular danger to the preacher, because there is so much I want to say, and there is the danger that the sermon gets unruly, and I go on and on and on forever, much to your chagrin. It is a beautiful and profound text because of its meaning, and it is also striking because of the imagery with which the evangelist John paints this nighttime encounter between a Pharisee clawing in the dark for the truth and the light of Jesus, our Lord. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He is a teacher of Israel, well learned in the scriptures of the Old Testament, and he recognizes something about Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus realizes from the Old Testament that miracles, the miracles Jesus is performing, are not mere magic tricks or even special dispensations of God's grace for the sake of healing the sick, lame, or the blind. Nicodemus knows the character of miracles, their function in the scriptures, their function in God's divine plan of salvation, and hence he calls them signs. Knowing that they are not an end in themselves, but they are signs pointing to a higher reality. The miraculous are signs. They are stamps of divine authority. And when paired with Jesus' authoritative teaching, Nicodemus knows that Jesus must be a teacher from God. And yet he is still in the dark. His eyes have not yet been enlightened by faith. Nonetheless, the light of the scriptures, even if only dimly as of yet, have begun to point him towards the true light, that is Christ himself. How is it that Nicodemus can't see? This is the same question that Jesus himself rhetorically asks. Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Nicodemus should know. As Jesus explains also to those confused and despondent disciples after the resurrection, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. All the Old Testament scriptures point to Jesus, his work, his death, his resurrection, even Jesus' specific teaching here in today's text about rebirth of water and the Spirit is foretold in the Old Testament. And thus, Nicodemus's lack of understanding is inexcusable. And at the same time, it is understandable only in the light of Christ's teaching here. Jesus's words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and that which is born of flesh is flesh," rings out from the mouths of the prophets from Moses to Malachi throughout the entire Old Testament. That which is born of flesh is flesh, is to say none other than what Moses confessed. Adam and Eve were created in the image of the immortal God for everlasting life, but the fall by sin subjected them to death. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. It was not in the image of God that Adam's children were born, but in his own image. As Genesis says, Adam fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, born not in the image of life, but in the image of dust and corruption. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And so it is that God says, The intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. And the psalmist cries, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And the psalmist again proclaims, the wicked are estranged to God from the womb, and Job asks in desperation, what is man that he can be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he can be righteous? That which is born of flesh is flesh. All the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, all begotten of the flesh, from every tribe and nation, every tongue and people, young and old, mothers, fathers, and children, need new birth. Nicodemus, Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? The prophets proclaim the grace of God, that he will send his Holy Spirit upon his people. And since the hearts of man are wicked, he will give them a new heart, a new birth of the Spirit. As God declared through the prophet Jeremiah, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And again through Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Indeed, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Only the one who is born again of the Holy Spirit, cut off from the descent of Adam, begotten from above, a child of the Heavenly Father, who has been given a new heart, can love, fear, and trust in God above all things. Nicodemus, Jesus says, are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. And how will this new birth come about? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How will this new birth come to be? By the washing of water in the Spirit, by holy baptism as instituted by Christ himself, as Nicodemus should have known. Here again from Ezekiel, the verse right before God says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. The Lord says, I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. It is by the washing of water in the Spirit that man will be given a new heart. God has been a baptizer from the very beginning. How could it be any other way? In Genesis 1, verse 2, in the very beginning of creation, what do we see? The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And Genesis 2, in the creation of Adam, a mist of water was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life. And the man became a living creature. And when the earth became so corrupt that God decided to flood it and restore his creation, again, what do we see? A flood of water, Noah and the ark, which only subsides when the Spirit blows upon it, which is explicitly a type of baptismal regeneration, according to St. Peter. The examples are too numerous to go into this morning. Ishmael saved by the well, Israel in the Red Sea, Joshua at the river, etc., etc., etc. When God creates and recreates, when he saves and gives new life, there is water and there is the Spirit. Nicodemus, Jesus says, are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. How can that be? How can it be that Nicodemus does not understand? Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. As St. Paul says, the natural person, that is, one born of flesh, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Nicodemus needs the very rebirth of which Christ speaks. He needs to be born of the Spirit to be given a new heart. Yes, he reads the Old Testament, but he reads it, as St. Paul says, with a veil covering his face. Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And St. Peter preaches on Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive," excuse me, "you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children." Dearly beloved, you have been born again of water and the Spirit. And if you have not, I will say to you as St. Peter did, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And by the Spirit, you are not in darkness, but in light. And what do you behold? The Son of Man who has descended from above, from the Father, lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. You may rise for the offertory. Thank you.